haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity.
I said I would confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity.
And in whose spirit there is no deceit.
For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away.
Through my groaning all day long.
For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me.
My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer.
I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity.
I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found.
Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach again.
You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble.
You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go.
I will counsel you with my eye upon you.
Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding,
which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you.
Many are the sorrows of the wicked.
But steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord.
Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous.
And shout for joy, all you upright in heart.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity.
I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Thank you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 26th chapter. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the 3rd time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies, protect me from those who rise against me.
In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord my God.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise up against me.
Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
Please join me in prayer.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our five midweek Lenten Vespers services this year, we are hearing St. Matthew's account of Jesus' passion, and we are reflecting on an arguable example of prophecies being fulfilled in each of the five location portions of the passion that we hear in the five services. Of course, in the end, each example of prophecy and its fulfillment for us reiterates God's will and work in order to save us sinners who are sorry for our sins and trust God to forgive us by grace for Jesus' sake. Last week, we considered how in the upper room, Jesus seemed to speak about his, in some sense, actively fulfilling Psalm 41, verse 9, about the one who ate his breads, lifting his heel against him. This week, we consider how, on the way to Gethsemane, Jesus speaks about his and his disciples, in some sense, passively fulfilling Zechariah 13, verse 7, about the Lord of hosts striking the shepherd and thereby scattering the sheep of the flock. As we heard at the beginning of the reading, after Jesus and his disciples concluded their Passover fellowship meal by singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, eventually to a walled garden on its western slope called Gethsemane, which name means oil press, which suggests that the garden had an olive oil press within its confines. The group may have passed from the darkness of deep shadows cast by the olive trees along the path to the brightness of the spring full moon, perhaps corresponding to the darkness and brightness of what Jesus told them along the way. Jesus emphasized that his disciples all would fall away from faith because of what was about to happen to him that night. For it is written, he said, in Zechariah 13, verse 7, that God would strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock would be scattered. But Jesus also foretold his disciples that after he was raised up, he would go before them to Galilee. And then fulfilling Jesus' prophecy and thus also Zechariah's prophecy, at the end of the reading, all of the disciples left Jesus and fled. But not before Jesus spoke both to Peter and to the crowd about fulfilling the scriptures, that is, the writings, specifically the writings of the prophets. Prophets such as Zechariah. As Zechariah prophesied, the Lord of hosts would awaken his sword to strike his shepherd, the man who stands next to him, is closely associated with him, with the result that the sheep would be scattered, or at least winnowed, as the Lord would turn against the little ones, cutting off two-thirds that would perish, and leaving one-third alive to be refined and tested so that they would call upon his name and confess him as their God. And all of that was connected with the Mount of Olives. As the divinely inspired St. Matthew reports, Jesus is speaking about Zechariah's prophecy en route to the Mount of Olives. There is a greater emphasis on God's active role striking the shepherd and causing the sheep to be scattered, meaning that God was in control and not the Jewish leaders. Striking the shepherd refers at least to Jesus' arrest, but likely also refers to his crucifixion that would follow that same day, which reference is clear from Peter's speaking about his dying with Jesus. As we heard in the reading, when the arrest happened, Peter drew his sword and struck Malchus, the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear, which ear Jesus then healed. Jesus did not need Peter with his one sword that barely hit what was likely a defenseless man in order to prevent the arrest. If Jesus had wanted to prevent the arrest and all that would go along with it, Jesus could have appealed to God the Father for more than 12 legions of angels, probably well more than 72,000 angels. But the idea is that of a countless number of angels with their countless swords. But as Jesus rhetorically asked Peter, if the arrest was prevented, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so? Jesus refers to scriptures in the plural, and commentators differ as to whether the reference is to a single passage, such as Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, to a series of specific passages, or to the Old Testament scriptures in general. Regardless, Jesus similarly said to the crowds that all that had taken place, at least the arrest and its ongoing results, had taken place for the purpose of the scriptures of the prophets being fulfilled, and with the result that the scriptures were fulfilled. As St. Matthew immediately seems to indicate by reporting that the disciples left Jesus and fled, bookending or bracketing or framing the reading with the matter of the fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, regarding God's striking the shepherd and the sheep of the flocks being scattered. In St. Mark's divinely inspired parallel account, Jesus is recording as essentially giving the command to let the scriptures be fulfilled before the disciples left him and fled. I wonder if Peter thought that he was preventing the scriptures from being fulfilled. He seems to be well-meaning, maybe even acting out of love for his Lord, but in a misguided way. He and the others are said not to be able to reconcile their ideas of Jesus' divinity with evidence of his greatest humiliation. They fell into sin and away from faith. No once saved, always saved here. We likewise can be well-meaning but get in the way of God's work. We might prefer what would seem to be a glorious idea of more than 12 legions of angels fighting for Jesus to the shameful idea of Jesus' arrest. We likewise can fall into sin and away from faith. But the Holy Spirit calls and so enables us both to turn in sorrow from our sin and to trust God to forgive our sin for Jesus' sake. In Zechariah's prophecy, the swords striking the Lord of Hosts' shepherd is a deliberate judicial act. The sins of the world, including your sins and my sins, were put upon him so that he died on the cross for our sins in our place. And then he was raised, as in tonight's reading, we heard him say that he would be raised. That the Son of God should die for us defies our rational explanation, but instead is revealed to us as an act of God's great love. Truly, elsewhere, Jesus identified himself as the good shepherd who cares for the sheep and so lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus said that no one takes his life from him, but he lays it down and takes it up again of his own accord on the authority and charge from the Father. Jesus' passive suffering and death conform to God's will, as expressed both by the prophets and by Jesus' own statements. Jesus' passive suffering and death were divinely necessary for our salvation. When we are sorry for our sins and trust God to forgive our sins for Jesus' sake, then God does just that. God forgives our getting in his way, our not reconciling our ideas of his divinity with his humility, or whatever our sin might be, along with our sinful nature. God forgives us in his holy church through his word and sacraments received in contrition and faith. As we heard in tonight's reading, Peter and the other disciples seem to miss Jesus' prophecy of his resurrection and his going before them, or his leading them forth to Galilee. As in Zechariah's prophecy, the remnant called upon the Lord's name and confessed him as their God. So in Galilee, the restored disciples worshiped Jesus and were sent to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that Jesus had commanded them, including holy absolution and the Holy Supper of Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, in which ways Jesus promised always to be with his church. Thus also we are gathered into Christ's church, forgiven and strengthened for the afflictions that refine our faith, helping lead us to call upon his name and confess him as our God, and so experience his peace and joy. Interestingly, in St. John's divinely inspired account of Jesus' arrest, before Peter struck Malchus's ear, Jesus told the band of soldiers to let the disciples go, which St. John says that Jesus said in order to fulfill the word or saying that Jesus had spoken to God the Father when he said, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." Apparently that word was part of Jesus' so-called high priestly prayer earlier on the night when he was betrayed, at which time Jesus noted both the loss of Judas as an exception and that the exception itself fulfilled Scripture, apparently a psalm verse that refers to Judas's days being few and another's taking his office. Unless, like Judas, we reject, Jesus says that no one will snatch us sheep out of his hand. And Jesus promises to raise us up on the last day. Tonight we have considered St. Matthew's account of Jesus' passions, fulfilling specifically the prophecy of Zechariah 13, verse 7. Three other examples of prophecy fulfilled will come in turn the next 3 weeks. As Jesus generalized elsewhere, what is written in the scriptures that must be fulfilled is both that he should suffer on the third day and rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be preached, proclaimed in his name to all nations. So repentance and forgiveness has been proclaimed to us. May God use us likewise to proclaim to others. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let my prayer rise before you as incense.
And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.
My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. In the imagination of their hearts, he has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. His servant Israel, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let my prayer rise before you as incense. God the Son, Redeemer of the world.
Have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit.
Have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, O Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, O Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil. From the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death.
Lord, deliver us.
From pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion.
Lord, deliver us.
From lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death.
Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity,
Lord,
by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter.
Help us, O Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment,
help us, O Lord.
We poor sinners implore you to rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to
to raise those who fall, and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
to forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord, have mercy. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
O Lord, do not deal with us according to our sins.
Do not reward us according to our iniquities.
O God, merciful Father, you have promised to hear the prayers of all who in repentance call out to you. Graciously hear us, so that all evils which beset us may be of no avail, that we, your servants, may evermore give thanks to you in your holy church. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
We're glad that God gathered all of us together tonight to hear his word and meditate on his great love for us and his son, Jesus Christ. Thank you to Debbie for the wonderful soup and salad supper before the service. Next week, we have somebody signed up. And
No, next week.
Next week, we don't.
No, we don't.
But next week was the
11th.
The Knights and the Cardinals.
No, that's
the following week. That's the following. Okay, so next week, we don't have someone sign up. Okay.
Okay, I'll do it.
We just fisted Dawn's arm.
Awesome.
You saw me reach over to
the ground. I did, I saw that.
Thank you for volunteering. And normal stuff on Sunday? Yeah, it's a nice, calm, second Sunday. Any
time change?
Oh, yes, time change.
Time change.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. But your phones, fingers do the walking.
Yeah.
Phones do the talking, or something like that. Any other announcements? All right, I look forward to reading all of them.